doing tonight? It is absolutely a privilege to worship God. How many of you know that worship is actually the highest form of prayer? That is why it is absolutely important that we don't come late to church. Because if you miss worship, you miss the best part of it. Because that's when it starts. Am I too loud? Are you good like that? Okay. Well, you guys tell me if it's a little loud, because I get a little passionate sometimes. So you'll have to excuse me a little bit. But I have one question for you guys tonight. Who is hungry? Who is hungry for more of God? Who can't stand it anymore because they want to know God in such an intimate level? I am excited, not because I'm here, not because I'm teaching, but I am excited because what God did for me, He can do for everybody else here and even more, even so much more. So what I want to do is I want to pray. I want us to just take a moment to just close our eyes, and I want to just pray a special prayer over each and every single one of us here tonight as we get ready to dive in. So let's just take a deep breath, close our eyes, and I would even ask that you lift your hands up to the Father. I thank you, Lord. Creator of heaven and earth, I thank you that this was not my idea. Neither was it a new idea, but it was your idea. And Lord God, I find, according to your word in Luke 11:1, that just as your disciples asked you on that day, we are here asking you the very same thing. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray, Lord. We need you. We don't know how to pray on our own. But we are asking, oh God, that you take us deeper, to a deeper level of prayer that we have never known before. I thank you, Lord, that it is your will for every person in this place to pray effectively and fervently. And Lord, we seek to glorify you alone through this life of prayer. Have free reign tonight, Lord God. Have free reign tonight, Lord. Move, Lord God, in a way that you've never moved before. Touch every heart here tonight, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So for the next 6 weeks, we are going to be learning how to develop a powerful and effective life of prayer. It is possible to learn how to pray, but God wants you to learn how to pray His way. God wants you to learn how to view prayer from His perspective, not ours. And I want to be clear right from the start that this life of prayer is not a self-seeking or self-promoting type of prayer. It is a God-seeking life of prayer, one that seeks only to glorify Him in every aspect of our being. Everything we say, everything we do, our walk with God, that is what an effective prayer life is. It draws us closer to Him, and it causes every part of us to glorify Him. And so that is our purpose here tonight, and our purpose for life. And I will repeat what Apostle Paul said. He said, for my determined purpose is that I may know Him and that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving, recognizing, and understanding the wonders, and I will add the great wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. And God will open the eyes of our heart to see him and know him like we've never known him before. You just got to open your heart and be receptive to God, and you let God do his mighty work in your heart. Amen? Just be patient with God and see what he will do in your life. And so what we're going to do for the next 6 weeks is we're going to take it step by step, aspect by aspect, on five key areas that make up a biblical life of prayer. A biblical life of prayer. So tonight what we're going to do is we're just going to lay the foundation. We're going to talk about why it's crucial, why it's necessary to have a life of prayer. And then next week, and for the remaining 5 weeks, we're going to take one key aspect at a time, and we're going to break it down for the next four. And then the sixth week, let me clarify, the sixth week, we're going to get into a special session on spiritual warfare. But let me remind you tonight, you've got to be here all 6 weeks. Because you cannot effectively wage war against the enemy until you learn how to build a solid prayer life. We don't want spiritually anemic people with a butter knife in their hand trying to come up against an enemy that is pointing an AK-47 in your face. It is a spiritual weapon that you cannot see, but you need to learn how to pray God's way first. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to arm you in that way. But really, it is God that is going to pour out this spirit of prayer upon your life. Amen. And so week one. I want you to take out a paper and a pen if you haven't done so already, because we are going to take some notes tonight. And whether you have a book or not tonight, that's okay. I'm going to discuss, I'm going to do a highlight on the entire session tonight of the book, the assignment that we're going to be studying this week. So don't worry about that. But God, it's time. It's time. It's time. God is calling us back to a biblical life of prayer that is centered around a significant amount of time seeking his face. And I'll be the first to say that there are no shortcuts. Let me just be real clear about that. There are no shortcuts. There are no drive-by prayers. God wants us to move out of the shallow water and into the deep. And he wants us to learn how to pray his way. So let's get started. Now, as we get into why we should have an effective and a God-seeking life of prayer, I want to just paint the picture. I want to state the case for prayer so you grasp everything that you have to gain. And these are just eight principles that you stand to gain, but there are more. And so tonight, I'm going to highlight eight of them, beginning with the first one. Did you know that a God-seeking life of prayer will cause you to know him so much more personally than you ever did before? Your relationship with him will become real and personal, and I guarantee it will. It absolutely will. As a matter of fact, your love for God will be so deep that your love for everyone else will pale in comparison. Your love for your spouse, as much as you love that person, will pale in comparison for your love for God. Your love for your own children that you gave birth to or that you fathered will pale in comparison to your love for God. You will do things for God that you would not do for another human being. I'm telling you right now, that's how deep God will take you in your relationship. Number two, you will experience ever-deepening holiness and life-transforming discipleship. We have all this talk about discipleship, but let me tell you how it really is. Because I'm not giving you some good information here tonight just to fill your mind. I am giving you factual information based on the Word of God and backed by personal experience. I'm not telling you to do something I have not gone through myself and am continuing to go through. This thing about discipleship is more than we realize. Let me ask you something. How many of us here tonight, if we were to be laying on the bed of an operating table, would rush the physician as he gets ready to perform surgery? How many of us would do that? Doctor, I'm giving you 5 minutes to remove the infected area of my body. How many of us would do that? No? Yeah? You would say just 5 minutes? But don't you want him to do a thorough job, or you want to leave sick? You want a thorough job, don't you? No one in their right mind would rush a physician because they want the job to be done right the first time. But yet, when it comes to our spiritual condition, it seems that that doesn't matter as much as our physical condition. Because when and if we show up to the appointment with our master physician, will we even allow him 5 minutes of our time to have him do surgery on our hearts? You see, that's part of prayer. That is part of prayer. Coming before the operating table and asking the master physician to do some surgery in our bodies, in our spiritual bodies, in our heart, because they are so infected and there is so much in there that has been suppressed. And because we ignore it, we think it's not really that bad. And we don't see it as an issue because it doesn't rear its ugly head every single day. But let me tell you something. It's not going anywhere until it comes out. And you don't have the power to take it out. Only God does. But you got to give him time. And we're going to get more into this as we progress during the weeks. But this is what happens. True life transforming discipleship happens when we draw near to God. And that is the whole truth. Small groups are great. We encourage each other. But there is nothing like the refining fire at the altar of prayer before Almighty God. That is when we grow in holiness and discipleship. Number three, your ability to clearly hear God's voice will rise dramatically. I know many of us probably have a hard time hearing from God, and we wonder if he still speaks to his people today. I have news for you. He does. But you got to open your ears spiritually and allow him some time to speak to your heart. Number four, the spiritual power of your life and ministry will increase greatly. Now, I know that we've heard it said before, little prayer, little power. That's the truth. But where there is much prayer, there is much power. Say that. Much prayer, much power. Number five, you will experience experience a dramatic increase to answered prayer. Listen, I want to remind us that prayer is not wishful thinking. It is not coincidental. Prayer is coming to God with a heart full of faith, praying His way and His will, and seeing it come to pass. Listen, I have prayed so many times asking God for a specific thing to come to pass. And that specific thing came to pass. And after about the fifth time, I said, Lord, you don't have to convince me anymore. Some of them didn't even take a week. Some of them, the same thing I asked for. By detail, by name, I said, Lord, this, this, this. And by about a day or two or three later, it was done exactly as I prayed for it. There is power in prayer. But when you know the heart of the Father, you pray His heart, and He will absolutely do it. But you got to know His will, and you got to know His word. Number six, you will experience far greater power to withstand trials, temptations, and spiritual attacks. Jesus said in His word, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. There was a reason He said that, because we be tempted all the time. And somehow we seem to think that we can withstand that temptation on our own. Let me tell you, the spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. And until you come to that realization, like I did, you are going to keep your knees bowed before God, asking Him to do in you what only He has the power to do. I don't have confidence in myself. As a matter of fact, the closer I draw near to God, the more I know that I don't know. The more things I begin to discover that I didn't know. God is so huge and so big that I can't possibly know everything there is to know about Him. But it's a humbling experience to know that every time I learn something, there's a whole much more to learn about God. And even about prayer. Now I want to say something. These trials and these temptations and these spiritual attacks that we go through often, they are not a figment of our imagination. They are real. They come against us. They come against our family. They come against our friends. They come against our neighbors. And I don't know about you, but I've had enough. I had to stand up one day and I said no to Satan. I said, enough is enough. No more. And I had to learn how to wage war against the enemy effectively. Not just on my behalf, but on behalf of those that I love. And if you've come to the point where enough is enough, you too will get to that place where you say, Lord, teach me to pray and teach me to wage war effectively so the enemy cannot come against my enemy, my family, I should say, and have his way. Enough with the enemy. But the Lord is so good because He's given us weapons, namely prayer, an offensive weapon, a very powerful weapon that we get to use against the enemy. Number seven. As you learn to effectively pray for the lost, you will see many people saved. All of a sudden, your family will start coming to church. All of a sudden, your spouse will start coming to church. That's right. Don't give up either. All of a sudden, your friends and your neighbors and that atheist across the street that you preached to, that he used to ridicule you, even he will realize one day when God pours out a conviction upon his heart that he is no match for the Almighty God, and he will have no choice but to lay down and lift up his hands and say, Lord, here I am. I believe. I believe. And number 8. You will discover how to pray effectively for revival and spiritual awakening in your church, your city, and your nation. God is raising up a generation of prayer warriors. But let me tell you this. He makes the prayer warrior, not us. We get to the place where we ask God to pour out his spirit of prayer upon us because we want more and more of him. And we want to experience him through a life of prayer. Because prayer, as we are going to learn over the next 6 weeks, is so multifaceted that it starts with worship. And I'm not going to go too far into that one tonight. But if you are not a worshiper, if you are only waiting for Sundays and Thursdays to get on your knees and to open your mouth and to give him the praise and the glory and the honor, you are missing out more than you even realize. He inhabits the praises of his people 24/7, not just twice a week for an hour or 15 minutes. And so these are just some of the things that are mentioned in the book, but I've experienced so much more personally that as I learned to draw near to God, he began to show me. And let me say this, the Holy Spirit is the best teacher. He is the best teacher. There are things you will never learn through a sermon. There are things you will never learn in the classroom. There are things you will only learn in the closet, the prayer closet. And I am here as a witness to that. No, I don't have all these degrees, and I never even went to a formal education Bible class. And you know what? I realize that's all good, and it has its place. But you know what? I'd rather be on my knees like Camel Knees James. I'd rather be there where the Holy Spirit can speak to me and back it up through his word and show me and give me spiritual revelation after revelation after revelation that the natural mind can never understand. He gives us wisdom beyond measure when we come to him. When we come to him. So what I want us to do right now is I want us to take a deep breath. And I want us to pause. I can go on and on, but I want us to pause for just a couple of minutes. And I want you to take this time to ask God to speak to your heart, and if there is something that you've listened that has touched your heart, something that you learned over the last 10 minutes, I want you to write that down. If it's a word, if it's a phrase, write it down. Take the time right now. We're being intentional about pausing in between the school of prayer so that you can write it down. I don't want it to go too far past you. And then share it with someone next to you. So let's just take a few minutes. Reflect, write, and share. Turn it off. And if you're listening on audio, go ahead and do the same thing as well.
Just one more minute. Did you do it? Okay, so now we are going to lay the foundation. We're going to talk about three important foundations that we must first establish as we seek to deepen our prayer life. And I want to say these foundations are vital, not only to our prayer life, but to our entire walk with God. It is not something that you can just go through or bypass. It is important that you take the time to build a solid prayer foundation, just like you would with anything. You wouldn't build a house without a solid foundation, would you? Why? Because it can crack and fall. You don't want to have a weak prayer life that is going to crack and fall within a few weeks. Build a solid prayer foundation right from the start. Do it the right way from the start. So let's examine why these foundations are so important, starting with the first one. Number one, we must view our daily prayer time as a relationship with God and not some legalistic duty, discipline, or task. It is absolutely important that we take the time to build a relationship with God. Consider it a relationship builder, a time of bonding with God, a time of becoming more deeply acquainted with God. Don't just wander into your area of prayer, your prayer closet, and just, well, I gotta be here attitude. No. Would you do that with your spouse? At least when you first got engaged and married? Yeah. Yeah, when you were on fire? Not right now. Some of you are like, eh. No. When you were first in that stage of getting to know your spouse, after becoming recently married, you wanted to spend time with that person. You wanted to get to know that person. Right? Come on, Deidre. I see you. Right? You wanted to just get to know that person and didn't want to rush that time. There was a different level of excitement when you came to that place where you knew it was just a one-on-one. That is the same way that we should view our relationship with God. You see, there is so much said about serving God. And that's a good thing. It's a great thing. We get excited. But somehow when it comes to seeking God, it doesn't seem that exciting anymore. When nobody else is around and God's tugging at your heart, whether 3, 4, 5 in the morning, whatever time it is, it doesn't really seem that exciting. We're not really that excited to want to get up and shout for joy and say, here I am, Lord. Why? Let me reintroduce you to two sisters found in the book of Luke. Because it's important that we view this the way God views it. The thing that he considers more important. You can turn there if you'd like. Luke 10, 38 through 42. And I'm going to read it briefly. Now it happened as they went that he, Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. You know what Jesus said? He answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken from her. Now, it is a wonderful privilege that we get to serve God. But let me tell you, he wants your heart and he wants your time before he wants your service. Did you hear that? Yeah, you heard it from me. He would rather have you on your knees before he has you in service to him. Don't you realize it's you he's after? It's your heart? Yeah, you'll get to the serving, I can guarantee it. Because if your serving stems from such a passionate desire for God, you are going to serve. Let me make that loud and clear. Nobody is going to be able to stop you from serving him. But it is not so the other way around. Look at Martha. She was caught up in much serving. And you know what she began to do? She began to complain. She was so distracted, thinking she was just doing such a wonderful job. She was doing this, doing that, doing this. And maybe she was good at what she was doing. Nobody said she wasn't. But she became distracted with much serving. And she began to complain. And then she began to demand that the Lord stop Mary from what she is doing and go and help her. Let me tell you, Jesus rebuked her. And he said, no, Martha, I'm not going to do it. You know why? Because she has chosen the good part, and that will not be taken from her. And so I want to remind you tonight that all the serving is wonderful, but don't ever replace it in your seeking him. You make it a point to spend time with him every single day. And I tell you, your life will never be the same again. Number two, foundation number two, we must make an absolute commitment to consistently, underline that word, I didn't say sporadically, I didn't say when we feel like it, I didn't say when everything is going good, I said consistently spend significant time alone with God in uninterrupted prayer. In uninterrupted prayer. So let me talk about this significant time factor. because it's important. Now, I'm not going to tell you how much time to spend with him. I'm not saying that you got to start your prayer closet with an hour or two or three. I will be the first to tell you it doesn't just happen like that, although God has done miracles like that. If you will just commit to spending 5 or 10 minutes with him, do it, but do it consistently. Spend that time with him. And while you're spending that time with him, ask him for more. Because God's enabling and effective grace will give you a desire to want to spend more time with him. That's how it happens. Just like your love for him grows, so will your time that you want to spend with him grow. And pretty soon, he's not going to have to force you, because he doesn't force you, but he's not going to have to really nudge you as much all the time, because you're going to want to do it. There's a quote by E.M. Bounds, one of my favorite preachers, because he was a man of prayer. And he said that God's acquaintance is not made by quick visits with him. You want to know God very much, and you will spend much time with him. But if you want to know him just a little bit, then you will spend just a little bit of time with him. That is the real deal. Don't let any modern day pastor, preacher, teacher, or leader tell you anything different. Because I've heard it all. Oh, you don't really need to spend that much time with him. Just a couple of minutes is all he needs. He knows your heart. You know what? The sad thing is, he does know your heart. And he knows exactly where it's at. And he knows exactly what you prioritize more than him. That is the truth. You want to know him very much? It is up to you. Who is hungry to know him on a much deeper level than they've ever known him before? Then you will be the ones that spend much time with him. And you will no longer be satisfied with a drive-by 5-minute devotional, checking it off your list, thinking you did God a favor. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. You are not. He wants you. He wants to spend time. The second aspect of foundation number 2 is uninterrupted time. Uninterrupted time. Jesus said in Matthew 6:6, he said, "But you, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. And pray to your Father who is in the secret place." There is a reason why God wants you to enter into that room where you close the door and it's only you and him. One on one. He wants our undivided attention. Now, I know for the most part, we are to pray all day. We are to pray without ceasing. We are to be a people of prayer, day in and day out, and all throughout the day. But there is a secret place that is RSVP'd for just him. Nobody else can have that time and that place or that space but him. You and him, one-on-one. Your time spent with him should be so guarded and so protected, because it is one area, and I would dare say the area, that Satan will fight the most. If you haven't noticed it by now, I'm letting you know. Satan fears prayer more than anything else, because it is the offensive weapon that God has given us to use, because it is where we open our mouth and cry out to God for help. You think the enemy wants us opening our mouth and crying out to God for help? No. Because he knows that the moment our tears hit the floor and we humble ourselves and we pray and we begin to seek his face and turn from our old ways, then he begins to hear and forgive and heal. And just like in the book of Daniel, then the command goes out and it is game over for the enemy. That's what happens. Do you remember in Daniel? You remember that? What did the angel say? He said, Daniel, greatly beloved, do not fear, for from the first day that you humbled yourself and set your heart to understand, the command went out. It went out. But it took 3 weeks to get to him. You know why? Because there's a thing we've been talking about, which is spiritual warfare that was taking place behind the scenes. Had he given up? Had he stopped praying and even fasting? He may not have received the answer. There is a thing called patiently waiting upon the Lord as the answer reaches its destination. Do not grow weary, but continue to wait upon the Lord for the answer. And foundation number 3. A powerful prayer life requires a balanced practice of 5 key areas. These are 5 key biblical areas that are required for us to have a healthy and biblical life of prayer, which causes us to have an effective and powerful life of prayer. Let me illustrate this. When we eat, there is a thing called having a balanced diet that will keep us healthy, right? You got to eat your, what? Your grains, your vegetables and fruit, your protein, and a couple of other things. But it's got to be a balanced diet in order to keep your physical body healthy, right? What happens when you eat too much meat? Oh. Yes, that's right. I won't name any names around here, but I told you so. Anyway, sorry. I'll tell him later at home. So we need to eat of all the basic food, nutrition, balanced diets that they give us, right? This nutritional, balanced diet to keep us healthy. And it's the same way. In order to have a balanced prayer life, we need to also engage in 5 aspects of this biblical diet of prayer. We're not going to get into these tonight, but there are 5 that we're going to begin to break down so we understand how and why each one needs to play a part in our prayer life. Are you with me so far? All right. Now we're going to do it again. I want us to take a deep breath. I don't want to rush this. I want us to write down 1 thing we learned of the 3 foundations of a prayer life. I want you to do it. This is part of active participation for the school of prayer. Write it and then share it with someone next to you. And don't be shy. Yes. The three foundations of prayer that we just talked about. Now I want you to take a deep breath and reflect upon one thing that you learned. Write it down and share it with the person next to you. And we're just going to take a couple of minutes doing that as well. One more minute. Did you do it? Did you share too? Did you share? Okay. So tonight, my assignment was to lay out the case for prayer, why it is vital and crucial to the life of a Christian, why it's non-negotiable, and what you can stand to gain, and why it is absolutely necessary to establish a solid prayer foundation right from the start. Now, what I want to share with you is a part of my own testimony. For the next few moments that we have, before we close. Because I don't want you to think that I somehow was born just excited and wanting to pray, or that I started praying right when I got saved at 18. I will be the first to tell you that for the first 20 years of my life, I did not know how to pray. I did not like to pray. I did not want to pray. As a matter of fact, it was boring for me. I didn't know the things I know now. Had I known then, it would have been so different. And you know what? I don't want you to live in regret. I don't want you to think I should have known by now. You know what? When God first began to take me into the prayer closet, I used to think, why didn't somebody tell me? Why didn't the pastor take me by the hand, or the leader, or the mentor, or somebody, and tell me everything that I needed to know? Why didn't anybody tell me that prayer was so important, that it was so vital to building a relationship with God? And you know, I used to do that, but I realized I can't hold on to that. What happened in the past is yesterday. What happens today is a new day and a new opportunity. When we first launched this church about 3.5 years ago, it was an exciting time. There was a lot of things that were happening. And we had such a wonderful, selfless group of people that launched out with us.
And everybody just seemed to be excited and moving in the right direction, in the same direction. But then we launched, and some things began to happen. And suddenly things were not that nice anymore or exciting anymore, at least not for me. And by the third month, I was done with church. I was so done. I was so tired. I was not prepared for the spiritual attack that was coming up against me day after day. I was so tired. I was literally entering into a state of depression. And I've had other problems, but I never dealt with that type of problem before. And I remember by the third month, I said, Lord, you got to do something. For the first time in my life, I can't figure my way out of this thing. I'm so tired of putting on a face Sunday after Sunday. I didn't want to fake it. I didn't want to just show up and act like everything was going fine when inside I was dying. I just didn't want to play the hypocrite. But I also knew that I couldn't just leave. I was a pastor's wife. I had to face my pastor when I got home. And he would have been like, where were you today? So I couldn't just get out of it that easy. And I just remember I began to just cry. And I said, Lord, do something. It just cannot stay this way for me anymore. And I remember that week after week after week for those first few months, I was just asking the Lord. And there was two words that he kept giving me. At least it was an impression in my heart. And he kept saying to me, sacrifice and obedience. Sacrifice and obedience. I don't know what he was talking about. But I said, Lord, I'm sacrificing. And I'm obediently coming to church. I'm sacrificing and I'm being obedient. What do you mean? But I remember he kept saying that to me over and over. And then one day, I'm going to tell you something. We were going through a transition in our worship team. And I remember Brian came up with this, my husband, came up with this ingenious idea to put me up here to pray. He said, we're going to close worship, and instead of you just coming up for announcements, you're going to pray first and close us out, and then you're going to do announcements. So I had to tell him behind the scenes, you made a mistake, because the worship person normally closes out in prayer, and then I go up and do announcements, right? And he said, no, I didn't. I didn't make a mistake. You're going to do it. And I resisted, but I said, okay, I'll do it. So I remember, to my shame, I went into my garage, and I said, Lord, quote, unquote, I don't want to get up there and pray. But if you want me to, just don't make me look like a fool. I said those words to God. Two weeks later, I get a wake-up call. 2 weeks later, you know what he said to me? Woke me up out of my sleep, which by then I was only sleeping like 2 or 3 hours a night because I was entering into just such an ugly state of depression. I couldn't eat. I wasn't really eating, and I wasn't really sleeping, and my stomach was hurting all the time. And so he woke me up 2 weeks later. He said, wake up. It's time. And no, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I was asleep in one moment, and the next moment, I get up, and I'm sitting up, and I said, time for what? I thought I was still dreaming. And he said, it's time. So I get up, and I go into the living room, and I spend just a couple of minutes in prayer. I didn't know anything about prayer back then. I spent a couple of minutes, and I said,
Is that it? Is that, I'm feeling okay now. Maybe somebody was hurt, something was happening. But I feel like I did my due diligence after 2 or 3 minutes. So it should be okay now. Let me go back to sleep. So I go back to sleep. The next day, same time, same exact thing. Wake up, it's time. I get up again. And I said, time for what? And I remember thinking about it this time. And I said, Lord, I said, I don't know if it's you, but I'm tired. Not tonight. I don't want to get up. I don't want to get up and pray. I'm just tired. I'll get up at 6 in the morning when my kids get up. And then I'll have some coffee, and then I'll read the Bible, and then we'll talk. Right? Like I didn't know what was happening. But yeah, we'll do that, right? But you know what happened? Amazing grace. You know why? I didn't deserve what happened next. I said no to God. You know what he did? Within seconds of me almost dozing back to sleep, he wakes up my daughter, who was only 2 at the time, in diapers, and I only had 2 at the time, screaming and crying. And I didn't know what was happening. I thought it was a bad dream. And so, of course, like any mom, nobody has to tell you, right? I move the covers, I jump up, and I get out of bed. And as soon as I round the corner into the hallway, making my way into her room, you know what he does? He floors me. I can't tell you how he did it, but my knees began to buckle, and I went down. And you know what he said to me in my heart? He said, stop right there. He said, that is what I want from you, that you run to me when I call you. And I said, Lord, I said, what's missing? Why am I not doing that, Lord? And he began to speak to my heart. And it was brief, but you know what he said to me before I even knew the scripture, the chapter, and the verse? He said, when you seek me, you will find me. When you search for me with all of your heart. That's all he had to say. That's all he had to say. I went, I took care of business with my baby, and I walked straight into the prayer closet. I said, Lord, let's start all over. I said, Lord, I don't know what it looks like to seek you, but I want to learn what it means to seek you. Lord, I never sought you the way you wanted me to with my whole heart, but I want you to teach me how to do it with my whole heart. And you know what? He began to draw me into that secret place, that war room, that prayer closet, day after day after day. And because I was so hard-headed, I needed to spend a lot of time with him. And he began to do in my life, after 2 weeks, lifted that burden of depression, lifted it, completely gone. And I'll share what happened, the rest of what happened next week. But I want to let you know this. It was over after that. I said, I'm not playing games anymore. The next person could play games. The next person can sleep in. The next person can do a drive-by prayer. But not me. No more. Here I am, Lord. Use me to whatever capacity you want to. Get me on my knees every single day, Lord. I want to be used. I want to be a prayer warrior that will advance your kingdom. Hallelujah. I give God the glory because I don't take an ounce of credit. It was not my doing. I should have not had that grace, but he gave it to me, and he can give it to you. And so let's close our eyes for the next couple of moments. Let's be still. Lord, I thank you for your great grace. I thank you, Lord, for your tender mercy. I thank you, Lord, that even though we don't deserve it and probably should have known better by now, that you are always there to take us by the hand and meet us exactly where we are at today.
and walk with us, hand in hand, step by step, leading us into that prayer closet where we can spend quiet, uninterrupted time with you. I thank you, Lord God, that what you did for me and what you continue to do for me, you are more than able and willing to do for everyone else here tonight, Lord. And Lord, I pray, oh God, that you would keep every single person here tonight, Lord, that you would keep them coming back, that you would fill them with a hunger and a thirst for more of you, Lord God. That you would help them, Lord God, that you would give them strength to get up, Lord God, and to enter into that quiet place where they can be alone with you. I thank you, Lord, that there is so much more that we have yet to realize that happens in the prayer closet. There is so much more that happens. It is not only a prayer closet or a war room. It is a refinery where we are refined in the fire, where we are purged and pruned. It is also, Lord God, a place of sweet fellowship where we can come to know you in a way we've never known you before. I thank you, Lord, that there is so much more that happens. And I thank you for revealing it to each and every single one of us, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that what you have begun, you are able to complete. Do a work, Lord, that we would go back and declare your mighty works in this generation, in our life, and in the life of our family. Have your way, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of us, oh God, say amen and amen. All right. Well, we want to praise the Lord, give him the glory, and say, Lord, thank you for another opportunity. Now, as we close, we are officially dismissed, but I just want to say this. If you didn't get a book and you want to commit to the remainder of the sessions, we are going to place a special order tomorrow, but you do have to register and, if possible, pay for it so we can have that accounted for, and we're going to try to expedite it so it can get here before next Thursday. Can't guarantee it, but we are going to try it. If that is you and you didn't get a book, please see Deborah tonight after we close so that you can sign up. Amen? God bless you all, and have an awesome night.